Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 49 of the Love the Mouse podcast. We have a very fun show today. As always, I'm your host, Matt Rolino, and joining me once again, it's been quite a while since you've been on the show, is my fiance, Tori.
He just doesn't want me on. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, we've been busy lately. You've been busy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty busy.
I think this is the first, well, this past weekend is
we haven't even seen each other. It's been weeks.
Well, this is the first weekend, as we're recording, that we don't have plans since, like, June.
We do have plans, though.
That's true.
That's a lie.
Yeah, that's true. So, yes, at the time of the release, the weekend will have passed. So, yeah, no, we did have plans this past weekend, but it was nice. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our recent trip to Walt Disney World. It was our first trip together, just the two of us, since June of 2018.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, quite a while.
Yeah.
That's all you're gonna say is yeah. Okay.
I was just agreeing with you. I thought you were gonna lead in another way. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
This is your show. I'm just part of it.
I'm aware. I was just kind of, you know, hoping to spawn some conversation rather than just...
What did you want me to say? Like, yes, we went there.
No, okay. So,
can confirm, fact checked, we went.
Yes, we did go to Walt Disney World, and we were there for 4 days.
Correct.
Yes, over the weekend, end of August, we were there for 4 days.
It was so hot.
It was very hot.
It was so hot.
But it was worth it. I think it was absolutely worth it.
No, it was one of my favorite trips, for sure.
I feel like you say that every time we come back from a new trip.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Why are you calling me out?
I almost guarantee that that's the case.
I feel like you're trying to fight tonight.
Nope, I am not. I'm just pointing out the facts.
It was a really fun trip. It really has been a while since I've been, specifically. You've been...
More recently, but only a few more months. Like, it's coming up on 2 years since my last solo trip, which was in September of 2019. And before that, we had gone with my parents in July.
And you know what? It's such a... As much... And I think that trip was definitely one of my favorites.
As you said.
Yeah. I guess I do say that about every time.
Yeah.
That's really funny. No, but it's because it's a good time every time. Like, there's nothing really... I don't think we've had a bad Disney trip.
I mean, looking back on some of our early trips, I definitely wouldn't do some of the things.
Yeah,
the
like,
same.
I would rather die than stand in line for more than, like, 20 minutes for Seven Dwarfs, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that too much on this show.
I don't care, I'm still mad about it.
But even, like, kind of going back to some of our previous trips and reflecting, especially after this trip in particular, one of the things... Aside from wait times, because right now Walt Disney World is experiencing drastically low wait times across the board.
It was
all
amazing.
Parks. It was fantastic for us. So we definitely reaped the benefits of that. But in the past, we've gone to certain parks for a full day.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's necessary.
We just talked about that recently because Animal Kingdom is the primary one that comes to mind. With trying to do it in a full day, because we finished, I mean, like, that was our first full day in the parks.
Right.
Was we started at Animal Kingdom, and we did everything that we wanted to do and finished by 11 o'clock.
Right. And even before the trip, I was kind of speculating, you know, I think we're going to be able to do things. We're going to be back at our hotel.
Yeah.
By the time 11 o'clock hits.
And it's not like it's a bad thing that that was the case. Like, I really enjoyed the downtime that we had. To be able to go back to the hotel and kind of unwind, give our feet a break.
Yeah, it was a nice balance of what we've done in the past in comparison to this trip.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was one thing that we had discussed was because you've taken those chill trips where you kind of take your own time, you focus on the downtime if you want to, like, hang out by the pool or go back to the hotel room and relax and detox. Like, that was something that you did, and that was something that I wasn't familiar with, I guess you could say. Like, I was expecting to go...
I mean, we typically go balls to the wall every single time we've been to the parks in the past.
Yeah, honestly, like, trying to get, like, slam as much stuff in as possible.
Right. And this, I mean, it was different because, granted, I've done it that way a couple times when I've gone by myself, but I really have never gone that pace with somebody else where I was able to just kind of go with the flow.
And I feel like we had a good balance because we had a checklist more or less of when we got to certain parks is like, okay, this is what we need to get done. This is on our to-do list, whether it was a ride or we went over food and wine. So different food that we were trying to eat and sample. Right. So we had this kind of idea in our head of must-dos, and then everything in between that was bonus.
It was a bonus. It was honestly
the go with the flow.
And to kind of preface it, I will say, just kind of looking back on it, planning for a trip in these times, in the COVID times where there's no fast pass, where dining reservations are so much harder to get because you're doing them only 30 days out, it does take a lot of planning still and a lot of changing. I was checking dining reservations leading up to our trip every single day because I really wanted to eat at Ohana. And we ended up switching our flight because of all the stuff going on with Spirit at the beginning of the month of August. So we flew Southwest instead, and that got us into Orlando a little earlier in the day. So I was like, you know what? Maybe we should make a breakfast reservation. We weren't planning on eating anywhere until like 3 o'clock. We had a Beaches and Cream reservation, which we ended up canceling. So just all that on-the-fly movement, and we ended up eating at Ohana for breakfast. So, you know, being able to go and check and just alter reservations and make sure things...
I feel
things...
like a lot of our trip was kind of on the fly.
Yes.
So, like, the first day, like Matt said, we got in early. We got to check in. We stayed at Pop Century.
Yes. And our flight... This was the earliest we've flown in to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it
our
was
flight
balls
was at...
early.
It was at 5:30 a.m. from Pittsburgh.
Stupid.
So, we were at the airport at, what, 3:30?
Barely.
Yeah.
Like, I think we woke up at 2 a.m. and, like, drove...
to park the car and take the shuttle over to the airport.
It was a long day, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It was. But we got in, and it gave us a lot of time to just... Like, it felt like we had more time there on vacation, which was really nice.
Absolutely.
So, we got in, took the Magical Express to the hotel.
And that was, like... In the past, this is another thing, too, a little bit different, because Magical Express is going away at the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're booking a trip in 2022, unfortunately, you won't have the benefit of
the
Magical Express.
Pay for that.
Yeah. It's going to be a pain in the butt, especially because that is a free service right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've definitely reaped the benefits of it multiple times in the past.
Yeah. It's definitely super convenient.
So what I was getting to there with the Magical Express is a lot of the time in the past, we've had to wait for the Magical Express. I don't know if it was because we flew in early. So we got into Orlando about, I don't know, 7:45-ish. And we still had to go through bag check. We got to the Magical Express at about 8 o'clock. So it wasn't bad at all. And then we were on the Magical Express, like, immediately. We didn't wait in line at all.
No.
Like, they told us it was going to be a half hour wait. But they were like, yeah, get right on the bus. And we were... on our way in about probably 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was definitely convenient. It probably had a lot to do with being there early, but honestly, I feel like even throughout the parks, like, as much as we saw crowds, because you're going to get crowds no matter what, I feel like the amount of people being in Disney World at that time is nowhere compared to, like, the trips we've had in the past.
Well, yes, that's a good point, too, because they still are operating on the 50% capacity. At least they're saying they're operating on 50% capacity. I don't think the parks were near 50% capacity.
Well, and you've said previously that, like, this is kind of a good time to go.
Yes.
People are going back to school.
It's hurricane season.
Typically less busy.
Yes. And I've kind of chanced it in the past because... Right now, there was a lot of storms going on in the Gulf whenever we were there. So it did rain every day while we were there, but it was nothing major.
Right. Nothing abnormal for Florida.
Right, exactly. It was like the 12 to 2 time frame. It would sprinkle or thunder or whatever.
Sprinkle. It was a
downpour. It
was
pouring. Yeah, you're right.
That's not a sprinkle.
I mean, it didn't alter our plans.
No.
So
we were very lucky almost every time it rained. Because we were either, like, on our way back to the hotel or in the hotel room or in the pool.
Yeah. So, you're getting a little ahead of the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...of the time frame here, but right.
There's no structure.
Yeah.
I'm just bouncing in facts.
I mean, we're kind of going in the order of, okay, so we're talking about getting in and, you know...
Okay.
Going day by
day.
So
we got in.
Yeah. So, one thing I do want to mention about still talking about our pre-planning and getting there,
mm-hmm.
switching our flight. If you do switch your flight and you end up flying into Orlando early, I highly recommend, especially if you're staying on Disney property. Like Tori had mentioned, we were staying at Pop Century. So I called probably a week and a half before our trip to see, once we booked the flight, to see if we could register for early check-in.
Request
early check-in. Request, not register. That's a better word. So we requested early check-in. So when we got to Pop, on the app, it didn't register that we were there. It still said that we were arriving around 10 a.m. So I went mm-hmm. to the front desk and talked to the concierge, one of the cast members that was up at the front desk. She was very helpful. I unfortunately didn't get her name. But she was like, oh yeah, you know, magic is always able to be happening. So she was able to get us into our room. I don't know if it was because of the reservation with the early check-in or just because we asked at the time, but we were able to go right to our room, didn't have to check our bags at luggage services.
They're always so accommodating.
Yeah. So it was just something I wanted to mention because if you do call, get that on your reservation to potentially have a room ready immediately, because in the past we've had to wait and it's been a pain in the butt.
Oh my gosh, yeah. To have to check your luggage when you have plans. And our breakfast plans that morning were for 10:25.
Yeah, so we weren't rushing by any means.
But so, I mean, by the time that we checked into the room, we didn't have very long before we had to, because we weren't, like, Ubering or anything like that. We were relying on their bus transportation right. and then the monorail to get to our reservation.
And I'm glad you transitioned to that, because that was kind of a pain in the butt.
That was, do you bleep out words? That was a shit show.
I knew in the back of my mind, I didn't think about it at the time, because originally when it was announced, the Polynesian station of the monorail, it was supposed to be finished and operating by the end of, or by August.
Mm-hmm.
Our trip was at the very end of August. So I didn't look beforehand, which is dumb on my part for the planning. I kept saying the entire trip, I'm off my game. Like, from a planning standpoint, I was off my game. I went different ways.
I think
ways.
There were a
the
lot of
ways.
There were changes that, and things that you weren't familiar with. And it's been 2 years. Like, yeah. It's been quite a bit of time, so.
Yeah, it was just different. Where I was, I did feel a little out of my element, but I didn't look into the monorail construction or the Polynesian station construction. So when we pulled up to the TTC, it looked like, okay, maybe there's construction, maybe there's not. I know we've gotten off of the Polynesian station in the past because we went to Tambu Lounge,
mm-hmm.
the bar outside of Ohana, which we were going to Ohana for breakfast. I don't know if I mentioned that or
you
not.
Did.
Okay. We had our 10:25 breakfast reservation at Ohana, so we took the monorail, and we chanced it. We didn't get off at the TTC, and we were like, all right, we're just going to get in. We'll go right into the lobby. I know exactly where to go from the Polynesian, like into the Polynesian uh-huh. to get to Ohana. We go right past because there's all this construction, and it was just like,
yeah, the door closed, and it was like, next stop is the Grand Floridian, and I was like, oh my god. And we're already, not that we're running late, but like,
it was
on time.
Yeah, it was probably about 9:45 at this point.
And I was getting concerned.
Well, I mean, we had a half hour
yeah.
plus to get there.
But like, we pull up, and at first we were like going around the bend, and I was like, oh, this doesn't look that far. And then we just kept going, and I was like, oh my god, this is so far.
So yeah, we did get off at the Grand Floridian
yeah.
at their stop.
We couldn't even figure out how to get out. We couldn't even navigate, like, the steps to get down.
Oh, hold on. You couldn't navigate the steps.
No, no, no. You chose to follow me. That was, that we were in that together.
Okay.
That was not just me.
Okay. We made it.
Also, it's not even that pretty. Like, it looks kind of gaudy from the inside. And maybe I'm just bitter because I couldn't navigate it, but
I
whatever.
Mean, it's definitely not our design aesthetic, I would say.
Anyway, we finally got outside and we had to walk on this path to get there, which is fine. We found the path after trying to go the wrong way, which was definitely on me. I tried to go the wrong way.
And I thought the path was really, really nice.
It was very scenic.
Yeah.
I definitely did not wear the right shoes to be walking.
Yes.
So I was getting anxious because I know how much Disney always up my feet.
Yeah.
So and my feet were already hurting by the time that we were getting there, and it was literally 3 hours into our trip, into our, like, 4-day trip, and I was like, oh, no, I just ruined my feet for this whole trip. But we finally get there. It was maybe, like, a 10-minute walk. Would you say? 15?
It really wasn't bad. It was probably 10.
It was, and it was very scenic. It was a very pleasant
walk. It wasn't too hot in the day, too. So it was early in the morning, so it wasn't the peak heat. So it was still hot. Don't get me wrong.
Like, yeah, we weren't, like, sweating balls yet.
Yeah, it was definitely hot, though. Like, it was definitely... like, I was sweating.
The whole trip, it was just hot.
But it wasn't, like, day two, kind of, in the parks.
Oh, my God.
Like, Animal Kingdom is just so much hotter. It always is. Always. It's just all the asphalt, all the foliage, everything.
So, your ambition was to try Ohana. What were your thoughts?
I think we might do a full review on Ohana, so I don't want to get too into it.
Oh.
But...
I was not informed.
No, I don't know if it's going to be a podcast or a blog post.
Okay.
Something is going to come of a full Ohana review in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the bare bones of it is, for breakfast, I think it's worth it if you're going to eat multiple, like, rounds.
Yeah.
Because it is all you can eat. They bring out the Mickey and Stitch waffles, the pineapple bread.
That pineapple bread was delicious.
The pineapple bread was really good. They do still have the pog
fruit.
The fruit, yes. They do still have
Pago, Pagu,
Pog,
Pugo.
No. Oh my. So
the pog juice.
They do still have the pog juice because they won't give it to you just as a juice anymore. You now have... You can only get it if you get the mimosas.
Did they... The guy said that they were just, like, running low on it?
Yes, because whoever their vendor is stopped making it during COVID. So they've kind of been trying to save their resources. I've seen that a lot on Twitter, as people being upset that they can't get the pog juice because a lot of people love it. I know you didn't really like it.
No. Is that...
Are
people gonna, like, be mad at me for that?
It's a hot take to not like it.
I thought it sucked. I thought it was so bad.
Well...
Also, that mimosa was the strongest mimosa I feel like I've ever had in my life.
I disagree. I thought it was fantastic.
It was so strong.
I thought it was really good.
Tasted like straight up gasoline.
No, it was champagne. It was good.
I don't care.
I really liked it.
I was not a fan. Also, $14 worth, I mean... I guess it's good that they make it strong.
Yes, that.
So you get your money's worth, but it also, like, I literally had to pour my orange juice into it because I couldn't drink it.
Yeah, I didn't have to do that. But
ew, it was great for you. Tasted bad.
But yes, the price of the mimosa, I don't think was worth it.
No,
the overall price for an adult buffet was $25 per person, which for the amount of food that we got. I think we ate $25 worth of food.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that breakfast price is worth it.
I don't know if what you're getting is, you know, it's basic buffet breakfast. You know, the pineapple bread is different. It's great.
What's the hot opinion in the community about the Mickey waffles?
I mean, Mickey waffles are, I mean, I know you're going to say that they're like just normal waffles. Like,
yeah, they're not great.
They're waffles. I enjoyed waffles. It was my first time having Mickey waffles. It wasn't like an existential experience. Like, it wasn't anything like life changing.
Yeah, but I still stand by my Mickey pretzels, so I just didn't know if
I still think the Mickey pretzels suck, so. I mean, to each their own, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about Ohana.
Oh my word.
We'll talk about Ohana in another episode then.
Yeah.
So what did we do afterwards?
So after Ohana, we went to swim at Pop Century.
So on the way back from Ohana, we were kind of discussing our plans for that night because we had initially made...
two separate reservations.
For dinner.
Yes. We had, like I mentioned earlier, we had a Beaches and Cream reservation just to get ice cream and potentially lunch. It was later in the day. It was like 2:30 or 3 o'clock. So it wasn't like dinner time yet. And we also made one for Kona Cafe, also at the Polynesian, where we just were. And seeing how much of a pain in the butt it was to get to the Polynesian from Pop, we were like, yeah, I don't know if we want to do that. Let's cancel the dinner reservation.
Yeah.
Because we were originally going to watch fireworks from the beach, but it didn't seem worth it.
Yeah. I think, like, I was getting frustrated on the travels to get, and I shouldn't have been, but it was just kind of like an arm and a leg to even get to the Polynesian to even eat. So to do it twice in one day, I think that would have been our limit for...
Yeah, and if we were staying at the Poly, it would have been absolutely great to have breakfast and dinner there.
Yeah, absolutely. The food, I mean, we've eaten there. Or no, we haven't eaten there, but we've like gone over to that bar before, and it's a very nice resort. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's beautiful there.
So we were kind of talking at the bus stop, and I just threw out the suggestion that maybe we should go to Epcot.
Which totally, like, threw me off my game. It was a absolute surprise to me. I was kind of in the back of my mind hoping that this idea would come up potentially. I didn't think it was going to. When you said it, I was like, yes, absolutely. Like, let's jump on this right
well,
now.
Well, especially because when I was thinking about it, Food and Wine is going on right now.
Right.
So there, and you've talked super highly about the experiences that you've had and the food that you've eaten. So in my head, it made sense to kind of try and go and experience all that stuff as many days as we could.
Right. And so, Epcot was the only park that we were in every single one of the days that we were in Disney parks.
So we decided to book tickets, reserve tickets? What's the terminology?
We got tickets. We bought tickets for Epcot.
Yeah.
And then we just made a park pass reservation, because you do have to make park pass reservations. Yeah. While we were there, there wasn't a shortage of any reservations, so we could have gone anywhere we wanted that day. So we went to Epcot, and it wasn't a big deal. We did go back to the resort, though, beforehand. Mm-hmm. We swam a little bit.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, just kind of hung out in the AC before we went out to the parks. Or went out to the park, I should say. And it was our first time on the Skyliner.
Yeah. So what were your expectations for the Skyliner?
I was a little worried. I was wary of the Skyliner. Because of the height. Like, I'm not super, super big on heights.
Yeah.
I think it's a little iffy for me sometimes. Like, I love roller coasters. I love when I'm strapped in, but I know just that, like, dangling feeling.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with that.
I think it's definitely the phobia of... I mean, I have the same fear of, like, fear of falling and whatnot. But it feels very secure. Like, when you're in there, it doesn't... Like, it almost feels like a ride.
A little bit, yeah.
There's a nice breeze... Because that was something that you talked about, that people were afraid that it was going to be too hot.
Yes, and I absolutely love it.
It was so cool.
To preface it, you're supposed to wear masks in the Skyliner currently.
Yes.
Whenever it was just the two of us, we would take our masks off.
Which I feel like is understandable, because you're trying to protect other people. We're both vaccinated. We were just in each other's company, and we breathe on each other all the time. So, it wasn't
weird
something
say,
that we were
true.
Worried about. I'm, like, 2 feet from you. I'm breathing on
I'm
you.
I'm just saying, but, like,
me sound weird.
There was only one time, because they occasionally do put you with other guests.
But it only happened once
It only
for
happened
us,
one time.
Which I feel like is almost surprising.
Yes. I think... If it were a busier weekend, we would have seen more times. And also, we weren't going at park close
or
park open. That's another thing, too. We were typically going and using the Skyliner in the middle of the day, so it wasn't, like, peak time to do it. But there was one time when we were going to Epcot from Pop Century. I think it was maybe one of the transfers, I think from the Riviera or wherever you transfer, the transfer station, to get to Epcot. They put us with another couple, and we did have to keep our masks on at that time, and it did feel much hotter with other people.
It was also the time of day.
Yeah,
I think.
That's true. But something to note.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely fun. Like, it was the trip to go, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself again, but the trip to go to Hollywood Studios from the Skyliner felt like nothing.
Which
like,
is so funny.
So fast.
Yeah, it's so funny because. Both Hollywood Studios and Epcot are very close to Pop Century.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you can ride the Skyliner, it's not a long ride. I think maybe 10 minutes total to Hollywood Studios, maybe 15 to Epcot, if that. But both are very, very brief rides. Much more efficient than the buses.
Oh my gosh. And it was so much more fun. Like,
yeah.
To be able to kind of, and like the narration, like, I feel like every time we were passing over like a group of buildings, I would be like, what's that? And then the voice overhead would be like, now we're passing over the Riviera or like the some
Caribbean beach shit. Resort. Yeah.
Yeah. It would just like narrate everything that I was like, oh, what is that?
Yeah.
So it was convenient. It was kind of like a little tour. And yeah, it was just really nice. But I definitely think when it's busier, because they hold 10 people. So I definitely think they would pack it in when, like, in the busier season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But and 2 people, it's very pleasant.
Yeah, especially at peak times.
Yeah.
Early morning, late night, definitely going to see a difference in that.
Yeah, so we got into Epcot and...
It was about probably 1:30, 2 o'clock when we got there. I think we
started eating, right?
The first time, I think we did rides first. I'm pretty sure.
I believe you.
I think we went to Soarin'. I think that was our first thing. We went to Soarin'.
Okay.
And then, because we got in through the International Gateway as the Skyliner leads you in. It doesn't...
I was very disoriented. I've never been in that way.
Yeah, you've never come in that entrance. And it was kind of funny, because I told you before the trip, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get emotional, like, walking into the park for the first time after 2 years. And when we walked in through the International Gateway, I didn't get emotional. And I can almost guarantee it's because I didn't see the park icon immediately. Yeah. Because when we walked into Animal Kingdom the next day, when we rope dropped, I did.
Yeah.
And same with, like, going into Magic Kingdom.
Well, it's because that was the first time we've been in that way. And even Hollywood Studios.
Like,
yeah.
It was, like, I don't think we went into Epcot through... We did once.
It was one of the mornings that I believe it was a morning, or no.
No, it was an afternoon because it rained.
When it was raining.
So the Skyliner was closed.
Yeah, and we had to take the bus.
Yeah. But yes, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting, just because I didn't think that I was going to, like, I thought that I was going to be emotional, but, like, coming in through the International Gateway, I was just like, you know, it doesn't hit me as much.
Mm-hmm.
So just, like, a personal thing. Like, didn't, like, it was just different.
You were surprised.
Yeah, a little bit. So we went in through there, and for those who don't know, when you're listening, that's in the World Showcase. Mm-hmm. It's back in the corner between France and the UK and Canada.
Yeah.
So we walked through France, or we walked through Canada, UK, to get to the Imagination section, the Land Pavilion, to go to Soarin'. And unfortunately, Living with the Land was closed while we were there.
Bummer.
I know Tori doesn't love favorite. That ride. I love that ride.
Sit in a boat and look at friggin' plants.
I love it. I think it's so relaxing. It's such a nice break in the day.
Like, oh, look, there's corn. How fun.
You don't give it enough credit. But
no, it's stupid.
We went over to Soarin'. How long would you say in the past we've waited for Soarin'?
Oh my god, probably like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, we walked right on.
Yeah.
Truly,
that was the theme of this whole trip was, I feel like every single time we'd be like, how long have we waited for this ride? As we're like walking to the front of the line. Like, yeah. It was just crazy how little we had to wait.
Yeah, we didn't even need this. And
I feel like it's probably a bad thing because it's going to set a precedence the next time we go. Of like, oh, well, we didn't wait that long the last time.
Well, yes, it absolutely will. But, I mean, we rode everything we wanted to ride.
Yes.
But we didn't go out of our way to ride certain things.
Yeah.
So like, we'll touch on that later as we get into the other parts.
I was going to throw shade at Seven Dwarfs again.
I knew you were, but again, kind of trying to keep some balance to it.
I know. So we did Soarin'. I think we ate food then, right?
Nemo. So yeah, after Soarin', we went to Nemo and walked onto Nemo, as we typically do.
Nemo should never have a wait anyway.
But we have waited for that in the past.
Yeah. Like, it's just one of those, it's like, what do you call them, a dark ride? Do you call that a dark ride?
Yeah, it's a dark ride.
I've definitely napped on Nemo before.
It's a very short ride to nap, but it's dark.
Still capable.
It's dark. It's very slow moving.
I always, you know what part gets me? I think it's the end with the turtles. Is it the end with the turtles or when they are singing the Big Blue World song that gets stuck in your head all day? Where it gets, like, you get dizzy.
Because no, that's the EAC, the turtles.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Big Blue World. You can't even look at it because I feel like you get, like, nauseous.
Yeah, the Big Blue World is when you kind of come out of that section and there's the real aquarium in the background.
I feel like it's playing in my head.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very catchy song.
I wouldn't call it catchy. I feel like it's intrusive.
Again, to each their own.
Yeah.
After Nemo, we did
start to eat food.
Yes, we did start to eat.
Okay, what did we... do you not want to get into what we ate?
We definitely will be doing a full food review. And wine review. That will be a whole episode in itself. But we did... So, I believe there's 33 booths in food and wine in total.
Well, and we could talk about that a little bit because we didn't think all of them were going to be open.
Right. So, half, or I believe 22 of the booths out of the 33 were supposed to open from July 15th, the start date, until October 1st. And then the rest of the booths were supposed to open on October 1st. To our surprise, all but two of the booths were open early. So when we walked in, it didn't really hit me because I didn't realize, oh, the Ireland booth, I knew where it was because it was in the same spot that I've seen it in the past. So I was just like, oh yeah, that's where Ireland is. It's in the UK, Canada area. And the...
Well, I think it only registered when we... What was the Swiss Alps or whatever?
Yes, the Alps.
The Alps, yeah. One. I think that's where it registered that, like, oh... Like, this wasn't supposed to be open. Because we had talked about it. That was one of the booths that you had eaten at the last time that you were at Food and Wine.
Yes. I was super surprised because I didn't expect that. I hadn't seen anything on Twitter leading up to our trip. I don't know if anybody even reported that. I haven't seen anything about that the booths opened up early.
Everyone's just... I even asked the one person and they were like, oh, yeah, they just opened up. They just, like, opened early. And we were like, oh, cool.
I do remember, though, I specifically asked, where is Belgium?
Yeah.
Because we really wanted to try, or you wanted to...
You wanted to try from Belgium.
It was the mashed potatoes, the braised beef mashed potatoes.
Oh, what am I thinking of? The other... shoot.
I forget what the other booth was, but there were two.
Because you wanted
to
try the thing from there.
Yeah, there was one option that I wanted to try that wasn't open. I don't remember which booth it was. We'll talk more about it in
our papers.
Yeah. But I remember asking specifically about Belgium because I had registered because in the book it takes you in the order around the World Showcase. So Belgium wasn't, I think it went from Greece to Japan or something. It skipped, whatever it was. And Belgium was in between those.
Yeah, because we backtracked because we thought we missed it.
Right. And I asked a cast member, I was like, hey, where can I find Belgium? He's like, well, that's not going to open until October 1st. That's where the construction is right now. So that one and whatever one's going next to it are currently closed. But everything else is open. Unless that was just while we were there. I don't know if it's still open. But definitely worth noting that we were able to try a total of 20 of the 33 booths.
Yeah, we ate a lot of food.
The 3 days... that we were in Epcot.
We ate a ton of food.
Yes, but also, going backtracking a little bit on our planning, we knew that was going to be the case. We didn't book any dining reservations in the parks knowing we're probably going to be eating food and wine.
And I don't really regret that at all because I think that was the expectation going into it, was wanting to spend a lot of time there because this was their big festival and it was the focus that we had talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we've mentioned so many times on previous episodes and probably already in this episode, this is my favorite thing to do at Disney is the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot.
Well, and Epcot is both of our favorite parks still?
Yes. Yeah.
Tentatively, yes.
No, Epcot is still 100% my favorite.
Yeah. And same here. So I was definitely excited to experience that because I've only gone for Flower and Garden before, or nothing at all, I don't think, when we went in July.
Yes, it was the weird transition at the time where there was no festival, so it was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still a good time, and to have this, and like there were a ton of people, and it was just nice to see everybody enjoying the different booths. And
I mean, a ton of people I wouldn't even say a ton of people, because we really didn't have to wait.
On the weekends, I would say.
Yeah, on Saturday and like Friday
There were a few booths that we didn't even try because we looked at the line and we're like, all right, that's crazy.
And that was our last day in the Disney parks on Saturday.
On Saturday. Yeah,
so you're right about that, but...
But back to Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. So we keep jumping back and forth, yeah. But that's okay.
It's mostly my fault.
So after we did our little food and wine tour, let me ask you this. Did food and wine live up to the expectation that I had set for you?
Because I would say yes.
Okay.
Certain days, certain items, because we, and I'm sure we'll delve into it more, but there are certain items that I feel like beyond exceeded expectations. Just throwing out one, the very first thing that we tried was the porchetta.
Yes, it's from Swanky Saucy Swine.
Yeah, and that kind of set the tone for, like, this is baller. Like, it was so good. And then we had a handful of other food items that sucked.
I wouldn't say sucked.
Bread.
Okay.
The bread.
But that was multiple days ahead.
I'm just saying, like, it was a good balance. Like,
yes.
I think it exceeded my expectations.
With what you're saying about the porchetta, though, at Swanky Saucy Swine, that was the first booth that we tried, as you mentioned.
Yes.
It was the first item that we tried. That really set the bar high.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to give anything away, but that was probably my favorite dish.
It was really good.
So, comparing, like, if we had tried something different from the start, maybe it was different, you know, because maybe we tried something, whatever our second booth was, I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm sure if I went back to my notes, I could absolutely, you know, say, oh, if we started with this, I would have loved it.
I will say I noticed some of the items that you have tried previously that you were like, oh my gosh, this was the best thing ever. This was so good. It was stuff that you had raved about when you had gone by yourself.
Yeah.
And this time around, you were like, eh, it was okay, or not my favorite, or wasn't as good as it was before.
Yeah.
I noticed that feedback from a few different booths.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. But I think it's also because my palate has expanded so much in the past 2 years, and just more willingness to try different things where I didn't feel, oh, hey, I love this in the past, I need to get this. It was really trying those items again because either you wanted to try it or
I had this memory. That's why I wanted to try them, because you were like, oh my gosh, this was so good.
Right. Like, I knew you wouldn't like the lobster roll.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like seafood.
I don't know why I keep trying lobster. It's just not for me.
Yeah, like, I knew you weren't going to like it, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't disappointed with that. I still love the lobster roll. It wasn't one of my favorite dishes. It was definitely still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. You like your lobster.
Yeah, but we did focus a lot on food and wine that day.
Yeah,
we did get not so much as the other days, though.
Yeah.
Because we really, the first day we were in Epcot, whenever it was just the only park that we were in, we really did try to focus more on the rides.
Right, because Frozen is fun if you don't have to wait long.
Frozen was our longest wait the entire trip.
Yeah, I think that was like 35 minutes.
30 minutes. It was no longer than a half hour.
And it truly wasn't that bad to wait.
And what's nice about Frozen, and also what kind of hiked up the wait time, at least in my opinion, is that the queue is totally indoors. The air conditioning. Just that it's, you know, it's the newest attraction currently at Epcot, newest, I guess, skinned attraction.
Skinned? What does that mean?
It's like, it used to be another ride, but then they slapped Frozen on top of it, so.
Huh.
It's still the same track, still the same thing, it's just now Frozen themed.
Didn't know that.
It used to be called, Maelstrom, but,
Sounds weird.
Was all, like, Norway, scenery and such.
Lame.
Offend our international listeners.
I'm kidding. They probably hate me anyway.
we did ride.
We did Test Frozen. Track,
we
too.
Did Test Track. Test Track's a lot more fun than I remember it being.
I said that, too. I thought it was so much more fun. Like, I don't know if I just don't remember it being, like, as fast as it was, or, like, once you're actually, like, on the ride. Like, I didn't remember it kind of whipping you around like it does. It was really fun.
Yeah, I really did enjoy Test Track. And in the past, we haven't made fast passes for Test Track because, I mean, Disney is changing the whole system. So we're not even going to get into that. We have our thoughts. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm glad that we were able to get in before the fast pass. The new Genie Plus system kicks in. I think we really definitely reap the benefits of that because things are going to be a mess for a while that's
and it's also just such a benefit that like the lines move so much smoother when there aren't these people who are skipping the line.
Yeah, and we definitely saw that, and everybody has kind of mentioned that through COVID trips where since they reopened in July of 2020, there hasn't been crazy wait times. Like our entire trip, not to bounce from park to park again, but like Flight of Passage never went over an hour long wait.
Yeah, I don't even think it hit an hour. Like 45 minutes was the longest we saw for any ride posted. It was crazy. It was really nice.
And that was like a low wait on so many of the trips that we've done in the past. And we would have waited for so many of these rides that we did do.
And it would have been normal. Like, I would have waited like 40 minutes for like Buzz and, you know, like different rides like that.
And we have. That's the thing. We have waited these, what we saw as crazy wait times this trip.
Yeah.
It was
so like 20 minutes. Short. It was like, wow, that's like a bargain.
Yeah. If we saw 20 minutes, we were pretty much like, oh, we're going to walk on.
Yeah. I mean, it takes 20 minutes to walk to the front of the queue.
Yeah. In most cases, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. Like for Soarin', when it was posted at 15 minutes and we walked right on, and it was because it takes 10 to walk.
Yeah.
And then you watch the intro video or the pre-show for 5 minutes.
It's not that long.
I know, but just the principle of it. It's a 15-minute experience before you're actually sitting and
so I would say the first day was a very nice ease into our Disney trip. Because it was a lot of our favorite things, I think.
Yeah, we also did a couple more rides, aside from Test Track. We did Grand Fiesta Tour,
which is a classic.
We actually had to wait a little bit for Grand Fiesta Tour, maybe 5 minutes.
I'm not gonna lie, I think I fell asleep on that one.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Yeah.
We also did...
Wait, that was weird that we had to wait, because we...
Oh, we've never waited for that one.
And it was very claustrophobic in the line because they have these
They have the plastic, your glass dividers.
I think plastic. They're plastic, whatever.
I would assume they're plastic.
And, like, I feel like the queue wasn't designed for a wait.
No.
So, like, we were all just, like, sardined in next to each other, like, behind these plastic windows.
Yeah.
It was very aggressive.
It was odd. Like, we didn't wait long.
No.
But we did wait for Grand Fiesta Tour, which was weird because we've never ever done that in the past. It's definitely always been a walk-on.
Yeah, it was a hot nap spot, I will say. Yeah. Probably got in like a good 3-minute nap.
And we also did Mission Space. That was the first time we'd done Mission
Space.
The
chill version. I forgot about that.
We did the green side rather than the orange.
Yeah, we were kind of nervous to do the orange side, but after doing the green side was like totally fine.
Yeah, so, it was very tame.
But I've heard that it's like a crazy difference between
I think it's more in the g-force of the actual
like the
lift
pressure
off.
And the landing is what I've heard, so I don't know if we'll ever experience that.
It wasn't something to write home about. Like, I didn't love it, didn't hate it. I wrote it in high school when I went, but that was almost 10 years ago at this point, so
like it was fine.
You can typically walk on, so if you want that, then and that's even without, you know, the crazy fluctuated wait times, or not fluctuated, these less crowded parks, I should say.
So did we ride anything else?
No, that was it. We didn't stay for fireworks that night.
No, I feel like we went back to the hotel. I think we left by like 7 or 7:30.
I think it was closer to 8 something.
Okay, well 7:30 is close to 8.
Yeah, I guess so. Because it was getting dark when we were on the Skyliner.
Yeah. It was, like, the sun was setting, I would say. It was still, it was definitely not dark, but...
And it was just such a long day. We were up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning,
literally 2 in the morning.
We still haven't seen Epcot Forever, but that's totally okay. I've heard okay things. It's a it's a placeholder show, so... Yeah. Wasn't too sad to miss out on that. I was much more inclined to go back and sleep that night. So I think we should probably stop, kind of take a break.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be a long one.
Yeah, this is going to be a long, in-depth episode. So I think it would be probably beneficial to break it into two separate parts. It'll be 49 part one, 49 part two. So, because we have a special episode 50 coming. So I was saving the saving that for episode 50. So it's going to be part one and part two and just kind of cheat the system. So that'll be coming in a few weeks, but we'll put these ones out sequentially so that you don't have to wait too long, and you can, you know, kind of binge it. If you want to listen to them both at once, if you want to listen to them periodically, that's totally up to you, but they'll be available to you all at once. So we'll be back soon, hopefully. Hopefully you'll continue listening to the rest of our trip report. If in the meantime you want to connect with us on our official Love of the Mouse podcast social media accounts, Love of the Mouse Multimedia at LOTM Multimedia, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. You can also follow us on our website, lovethemousepodcast.com. There you can connect with us, all of our previous episodes, whatever you want to call it, blog posts, submit any consultations for design work, all that fun stuff. I won't go too deep into it right now because I know we've talked so much, but in the meantime, thank you all so much for listening. Tori, do you have anything else for this episode?
Nope. Okay, great. Stay tuned.
Yes. Stay tuned for part two of our trip report. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Love of the Mouse podcast. Until you hear us again, thank you and good night.